Now it's supposed to work better. Can you hear better? All right. Does Brother Lonnie approve of this music y'all are singing this morning? All right. Just want to be sure. You know, since he's gone, I didn't know maybe y'all were doing what you wanted, but sounded good. Glad that we could be here. We are so excited. Brother Lonnie called me early this morning and had prayer with me and thanked me for coming. I think he just wants to just be sure I was going to be here is what it was about, but we did pray together and had this time of sharing. But we are happy that we can be here. Glad that I see some new folks, and I seem to miss some folks. I'm not sure who is not here and who isn't here, but those kind of things. But we are glad, and I just know that Brother Lonnie really loves you very much. He talks about you every time we see him, about how the church is doing and how y'all are taking good care of him. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. And this thing is not doing right. But I know these new inventions are good, but they sure are troublesome, you know. But anyway, I want to share with you today. You know, the first of the year, a lot of people make resolutions. Did you know that half of the resolutions that are made every year are about losing weight? Or working out, you know, getting better in shape and stuff like that. I heard one guy had a great resolution. He said, since I never keep my resolutions, I have decided to read the Bible and pray every day. Or not to read the Bible and pray every day. I'm sorry, I messed it up. So if he doesn't keep that commandment, that means he's going to keep it, okay? So that's what we ought to do when we think about it. But I want to share with us today about a spiritual fitness examination. As you can see, I am not a picture of physical fitness, okay? I want you to know that. I know that already from the start, and I know you could tell right away. But I think one of the things that we take not serious enough is our spiritual exercise. And I think there are things that God wants us to do to be a better Christian. Paul the Apostle used illustrations from the athletics a lot. He just uses things that people were familiar with, and that way they could hang on to it, you know, and be able to remember a little better what they're doing. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he said, all run in the race, but one receiveth the crown. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul, no doubt, had the Greek Colosseum in mind when he was talking to these people on this particular day in this letter that he wrote to young Timothy. And we find that he's saying, Timothy, you as a young Christian, he sort of was his father in the faith. I'm sure you remember that. He said, you must exercise your soul as carefully, as rigorously, and as regularly as the Greeks do their bodies. Think about this. If we go to the gym and work out, you just got to be willing to work out spiritually as much as you do physically. Last year, Brother Ted Traylor at Olive Baptist, that's where we attend when we're not preaching somewhere. Years ago, we had made him and Miss Liz a nativity scene to put out in front of their house. You shine a light on it, you know, and it puts a shadow up on the house or wherever. And he said this in the pulpit. He said, if you do not have a sign of Christmas outside your house, you shouldn't have a Christmas tree inside your house. And he said, somebody made me one last year, and I was scared to death he was going to say me. And I could not make that many nativity scenes, you know, to supply one for everybody. But he didn't say that. But what he said was, you know, if you have something inside, you ought to have something outside. Think about it. How many people don't know that you're a Christian? Oh, you said you're a Christmas tree. Well, who doesn't have a Christmas tree? Everyone. So one of the things that we need to be careful about is what people see in our lives every day. Now, I'm quite sure that if we see a muscular young man or a attractive young lady, you know, walking in, we would notice them more than an old, pudgy, old guy, you know, or not so beautiful lady. But you know, the thing is this, that when we walk in here, guess what we see? We see the spiritual parts of us. We don't see that other part. You could be ugly, but be lovely inside. And this is what really this message is going to try to be about. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy 4, 4 through 9. 1 Timothy 4, 4 through 9. He starts out saying, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with the thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." In other words, this is Paul saying to young Timothy, this is a reasonable thing that you ought to consider for yourself. So that's what we want to look at it in that light today. Paul is not telling Timothy to neglect his body, but he is saying, "I want you to be careful, and I want you to present to God what God wants you to for Him." First of all, we find every Christian should do all possible things to keep fit by wise living, by sensible eating, the right amount of rest, air, and exercise. Now that's easy, isn't it? But doing these things is the difficult part. Years ago when Billy Graham's crusades first began, well, I don't know about when they first began, but when I got to be involved in some of the crusades, he would send a letter to all the people who made decisions for Christ. He said, "Making the decision to follow Jesus is 10%. Following up the decision is 90%. And I have come to believe that that is certainly true. You see, anybody can say, "Oh yeah, preacher, I accept Jesus." But what does that mean? So we grow and try to find out. So I find this, that, you know, Paul did say that body exercise profiteth little. Well, I might say that's why I don't do it. Well, that would not be right. But just because it doesn't last forever, in fact, there's a commercial on TV that says, "What if one push-up would push you in physical condition? What if eating one helping or one sprout of broccoli would be all you needed to eat?" We'd all do it. But it's harder than that. It's more difficult than that. We hear a lot of people say, "You know, I just wish I could be like that person is." There's an old Bible preacher called Vance Havner, years ago gone by, great, great Bible teacher. He said, he was telling us one time in one of his sermons, he said, "You know, there was I was talking with the pastor in his study, and this young guy come running into his office, you know, didn't knock on the door or anything, and said, I won somebody to the Lord." And the pastor said, "That's good." And Vance Havner said, "What's his name?" He said, "Well, I don't remember." He said, "Where does he live?" He said, "I didn't find out." He said, "I don't think you want him to the Lord." Well, I would never be that bold to say that to somebody, but he did. And you know what? There might be something to that. If you are leading somebody into that intimate relationship with God, sure you're going to find out who he is and where they live. Why? Like Billy Graham said, so we can follow up on the decision they made for God. But he does say this, bodily exercise profiteth little. In other words, what he means is for a little while or for a short time, because the body is still just the body. No matter what condition the body is in. We had a neighbor 2 years ago, lives down the street from us, and she'd been to the doctor's office, and the doctor had examined her. She was 84 years old, and said, "You are in excellent health." She went out in her car and turned out onto Davis Highway and had a heart attack and had a wreck and died. Now that doctor, what he was saying was, at this moment, you're in good shape. But that's all we're promised, is a moment at a time. And this is what happened to her. And her, of course, her husband was devastated by this very, very much. Because the body is just the body, regardless of the condition we're in good condition or poor condition, it's still just the body. And too many people in America are more concerned about the body, physical body, than they are the spiritual body. So, you see, the body is only the house in which the soul lives. We just have a body because the soul needs something to dwell in. And God gave it that way. You see, the soul is a real person that lives in the body. You're saying, well, we don't see the soul, though. Well, you sort of do. When you see people say things that they don't mean and don't believe and don't do, you're seeing them. That's what they are. So, three things to notice about taking time and trouble to become and to keep spiritually fit. Three little things to start with. First of all, being spiritually fit, it is a personal matter. He said, verse 7, exercise thyself. It is a personal matter, something that we must do for ourselves. The thing that used to upset me about people who would move from our church, you say, oh, people surely wouldn't change churches from you, Brother Bill. Yes, they did. And you know what it was? I'm not being fed properly. Well, I would just love to know where they're going to go and how they're going to feed them to make them be fed properly, you see. All you got to do as preachers is put the word out there, and they got to feed themselves. If you can't do that, then you're not going to grow, no matter where you go to church. And this is what's so very, very important. So he says, we've got to be willing to understand God. Look what he says in 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Listen to the doctrines of the Word of God and practice them. You will be profited, and those that you talk to will be profited. You see, it doesn't matter what I say. But when I say to you, the Bible says, then you need to perk up your ears and say, hey, I better listen to this. This is what's important. So we find it is a personal matter. Second, it is a profitable matter. He said you need to exercise unto godliness. Can anything be more profitable than growing in spiritual life? This is what it is all about. You see, we find that people are always striving to be better at what they're like a ball player. They don't just go out there and play ball once or twice a week. They practice every day. They prepare themselves, the musicians, the singers, everybody practices for what? To make the best presentation they possibly can for what they're doing. And this is what he's talking about here. Should we not exercise spiritually unto godliness? Did you know that you'll not find anything else in the whole Bible that tells you you can do this to become godly? Exercise unto godliness. Verse 8 tells us very plainly, he says, it is profitable in at least two ways. Listen to this now. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and the life that is to come. You know, it's sort of like when you go to school and you have to do the homework and learn how to do things. Well, it's good for then. In other words, when you take a test, if you know the answers, you've done good. But it's also good for later on in your life because the things that you learn are good now and later. Paul's not talking about that to Timothy, though. Paul's talking about right now on this earth and then in heaven to come. What's going to happen to people who do not exercise unto godliness? Well, if they're not Christians, they're going to go to hell when they die. And if you are a Christian but you don't grow spiritually as God wants you to, you're going to be sorry for the way that you are in heaven. You know, I've heard people say before, somebody could just memorize one verse after the other, you know. And somebody said, boy, I wish I could do that. And somebody said, well, if you repeated it and memorized it about 10 times a day, you probably could. Well, that's not true with everybody, okay? And I notice also the older you get, the harder it is to remember things. But that's not part of this, okay? But he says this is it. You're going to be profited now, and then the life that is to come. How profitable is it to live a godly life? We receive the benefits now and in the days to come. That's what God is wanting us to try to understand. He said, you see, it is a progressive matter. And I'm glad to know this. In other words, it's not something when I become a Christian, you know everything just now. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful if that happened? That God could say, okay, you're a believer, you know everything. Well, that would be wonderful for sure, but it's not that way. He said, exercise thyself unto godliness, just as that people who exercise for their physical body, they don't get it all done at one time. They have to keep going, keep going, keep going. Interesting story about my wife. Years ago, when we were called to a country church, we had not been farmers before, so we started learning how to be farmers out there in the country. And one of the deacons said, Brother Bill, now, when I get through preparing the ground for our garden, the tractor will be out there. You can come and do yours. I said, okay. And then he said, when you get ready, he said, I'll just leave the seeds and stuff in the planter. You go out there and plant it. Okay, man, you can't beat that. And then he said, when it's time to go out there and, you know, cultivate it, it'll be ready. Just go out there and do it, just like I did. Well, I did everything wrong. You see, his property where the pastorium was terrace, like this, you know. I followed that terrace around like that tractor, you know, just as pretty as you could be. He said, well, you're going to have a lot of trouble. I said, what's wrong? He said, you're supposed to go straight. Don't you remember what the Bible says? Go straight. In other words, you set a goal up this way and go straight for that goal. I said, well, what's wrong? The garden looks good. He said, yeah, but when you go back there and try to cut out the weeds, you're going to cut up half your garden. He was right. He knew what he was talking about, and it worked that way. But you see, one of the things that's so interesting is we need to learn to do things. Guess what I did the next time I did a garden? I did it right. I knew how to do it then, and it worked out much better. But when we talk about growing progressively in the Christian life, I do not mean that lightly. You know what I think we should do? Of course, don't tell Brother Lonnie this, okay? I'd hate for him to do something like this. Give every church member a Bible quiz and put them in the class they belong to be in. Whew. How would that be? In other words, if you got 10 out of 10, you're in the top class. If you got 5 out of 10, you're in the middle class. And if you just got 1 out of 10, you're in the beginners. We don't do it that way. We do it by ages, see? But you know what? Some of those little ones may learn more than some of us big ones do. First of all, the mind is sharper and ready. And those preschool workers know exactly how to teach them that they can understand it and take it into their life. Preschool workers, they have the best job in the church. I don't know if you know that or not. They learn all the secrets about every family that's in the church. I remember one occasion, our minister of music, his wife had been divorced. She's married to an alcoholic. She divorced him and years later married Bill, who was our music director. And I was going down the hallway one day, and Judy came running out of the office and said, Brother Bill, I got to talk to you. I said, what's wrong? She had asked the kids, do they have a prayer request? And this little boy said, yes, my daddy's an alcoholic. Y'all pray for him. Well, his daddy was a music director, she thought. Well, he was not the daddy. See, he was a stepdaddy. But as far as this little boy was concerned, he was the daddy. I said, Judy, have you told anybody else this? She said, no. I said, don't tell anybody. I said, that's his mother's first husband, who was an alcoholic, not our music director, okay? Could you imagine what kind of problem that would be for a music director? Yeah. But you see, little things like that are important. But she was so sensitive to that little kid that she wanted the right thing to happen. Anyway, godliness does not come all at once, even as physical fitness does not. I remember when I went to college the first semester, I sort of cheated a little bit. First time I ever did that. I had some friends who was in that PE class the year before. They said, Bill, when you go to class, they're going to put you through a bunch of exercises, you know, pull-ups and push-ups and all this, running and all that stuff, see. So just do as good as you can do, but don't push yourself. Because at the end of the semester, they're going to grade you again, not on how good you do, but how much you improve from the start of class to the end of class. Well, some of those macho football players did the best they could the first time. I did better than they did, so far as my growth was concerned, but not really. See, I just cheated myself, really, but it helped get a good grade. And when you're in college, any good grade helps a lot, you know, if you can get in PE or wherever else, that works good. All right, the second question is, how do we train for godly living? What are some exercises that we can use to get and stay fit? What are some exercises that we can use to do what God wants us to do. First of all, by private exercise, by entering into the secret place of prayer. Prayer is probably the thing that we neglect the most of our whole spiritual life. We have more time on our hands that we could pray than we have to do almost anything. Listen to Matthew 6, starting at Matthew 6, 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly." Well, our first exercise should be to be alone with the Father in prayer. Spend time with our Heavenly Father as He wants us to. We can have forgiveness. Whatever we do, we can confess it unto God, and God will confess us. You see, we have, as we talk to God, we have forgiveness. We have mercy. You see, we have instructions. You don't just say, "God, be with me and my family this week. Help us have a good week. That's okay, but not like we should pray. "And God, what is it that you want me to do today or this week that would be pleasing to you?" And God will help us to know it and understand it. We find that the practice of prayer is effective if it's used. Just like the exercise in the physical body, okay? You can go in this gym and look at all those instruments of torture that they've got there, but unless you get on them and use them, they're not going to help you. And prayer is the same thing. Everybody can pray, but do we pray as we should? We find, second, by reading of God's Word. You see, if an athlete is going to get strong and grow muscles and learn how to do what he's supposed to do the right, he's got to practice constantly. If you and I are going to learn about God, now it's okay to learn it from preachers and from teachers, but the best thing you can do is to learn it from the Word of God, you see. That is where it's really at. So we find he tells us about this in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. He said, "Nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine." We've got to study the Word of God. One of the things that we have really come up short on in the Baptist churches, not picking on you by any particular reason, but it's all of them. We used to have a thing called discipleship training or church training or BYP or whatever y'all used to remember it called by, you know? And you know what that was for? That was for learning about doctrine, about Christian ethics, about evangelism. You see, you know what we lack in our church today more than anything is discipleship. We go to Sunday school, we learn more about the Bible, but discipleship is more than just learning about the Bible, see? And this is what Paul's wanting us to see here in God's Word. We got to be nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. Are you a well-nourished Christian, or are you a spiritually skinny Christian? Now, I know skinny probably sounds good physically, but it doesn't sound good spiritually, okay? So keep that in mind. Acts 17:11 tells us that the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see if they were teaching the Word or not. As we get alone with God and His Word, He speaks to us. Remember at school, we had a chapel every Monday. And a lot of guys who had opportunity to go out and preach on Sunday, you know, before that day, he'd have a sharing time, and somebody would stand up and tell us what happened, you know. And this one guy said, well, he'd been invited to such and such church next week. And some of the guys said, oh, we've been there before. He said, listen, you're going to have a hard time. He said, what's wrong? Well, when you start preaching the Bible, he says, some guys about third row from the back on the right side is going to stand up and say, that's not true. Well, this poor guy was scared to death. But he went anyway, you know, and he preached. And he got in the sermon, started preaching, and nobody stood up and said anything. So when this guy got back, you know, they asked him, he said, well, what happened? Did that guy stand up? He said, no. He said, the guy who had been there before said, well, I wonder why he didn't stand up. He said, well, maybe what I said was true. Well, that wasn't really a nice thing to say, maybe, you know, but that could have been what it was. Used to be, they had a the deacons, y'all hear that? Knew what the Bible said. And if the preacher was preaching something that wasn't in the Bible, they let him know about it. No, I don't mean you fire him, but you talk to him. They used to say, amen or oh me. If it wasn't in the Word, they'd say, oh me. But you see, you can't say oh me if you don't say amen. Okay, so you got to say amen to the good stuff before you say oh me to what's not in the Bible or the Word of God. Remember, your body is a temple of God. And then we would ask, how can we train for godly living? And he tells us this also, by exercising together. Well, I guarantee you, it's a whole lot more fun to walk with somebody than it is to walk all by yourself. There's just something about it that it makes it easier and better. How do we do it? I think, first of all, by attending what you're doing today, by attending public worship services. Now, according to Luke 4:16 through 19, it was the practice of our Lord to attend worship. Listen to what he says here in Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, that means he did it regular, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, folks, if Jesus Christ, as a young boy, found it necessary to go to the temple, I think we ought to also. That's where we learn about God. That's how we understand what he wants us to do. And then Hebrews 10:25 tells us there's a danger if you don't attend. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many, this is not your age necessarily, but maybe your memory, okay? How many remembers when businesses didn't open on Sunday? We all do. Well, we do it because of us is why we do it. Because we got to stop at the drugstore. We got to stop at the grocery store. We got to, just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. I grew up in Miami, which is a pretty good-sized town. It wasn't as big then as it was now, as it is now. But listen, I remember when Mama had one drugstore open every Sunday. They rotated. I mean, it wasn't just that one every Sunday, but they kind of took turns. So there'd always be a drugstore open if somebody needed some medication on Sunday. Did you know that now some of the biggest sales are on Sunday? That's right. Does it make us less a Christian if we work on Sunday? No, it doesn't. You see, you could be a worse Christian and not do a thing on Sunday except go to church and go home and lay in the bed all day. Or you could be a good one. But you see, that's not what determines whether we're what God wants us to be, spiritual or not. It's, are we growing in Him? When I think about Jesus going to the synagogue and as he stood up and read, he was a young boy when he did this, folks. He wasn't a man. He was still a young boy. And then we think Paul wrote Hebrews, some don't, but I kind of feel like he did. He tells us there that don't forsake meeting together. There's so much strength when we meet together and worship our Lord. And that is what he's telling us right here. We seem to be so easily distracted. Oh, I can't go to church. My friends drop by. I can't, we just have all kinds of excuses for not going to the Lord's house. And then I think another way we can grow together, not only by public worship, but I think also by partaking of the Lord's Supper. You see, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that's a reminder of what we used to be and what we are now. Or it may be for you what you are and what you can be for God. You see, it is a picture, just like baptism is, how that we are buried with Him in baptism. Well, partaking of the Lord's Supper is very similar to that. We look back to the time that we received the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes Brother Ted at church will walk around the auditorium. He's got a mic like this, and he'll say, "Tell me when and how old you were and where you got saved." Now, if you want some people to start shaking in their boots, do that. Can you tell me when you got saved? Can you tell me where you were when you got saved? Well, my wife, she's always different. You know, she was raised Pentecostal. And I noticed as Ted got closer to us, she was getting nervous. So I said, what's wrong? I'm afraid if he asked me when I got saved, I'll ask you which time. You see, Pentecostals, you can get saved and lost and saved and lost. So after that service that night, we explained to Brother Ted her situation, you know, and he got a little chuckle out of it, but was afraid if she said which time, he'd have changed his sermon probably right then. You know what I mean? But we understood that when we were dating, we dated like other people dated, but well, not like some, because we didn't have any money and we couldn't go places, so we just did things that were cheap, if you want to, like Youth for Christ rallies and revivals at other church, you know, stuff like that. But I remember we talked about, because I got real serious about her and I wanted her to be my wife, but a Pentecostal, how could a Baptist be married to a Pentecostal lady? So I would give her scriptures and she would take me to her pastor. The next night we would talk about his, you know, we just did this. Well, Hebrews chapter 6 finalizes this. It says in Hebrews 6, if you once tasted the heavenly gift, if it were possible to fall away, it is impossible to come back again, seeing you crucify Christ again. Wow. Guess what? Her old Pentecostal preacher is a Baptist preacher now. The old Pentecostal church is a Baptist church now, not like us. But you see what God did through some conversations about the Word? He used Ann and me to help that pastor understand about eternal security. Now, folks, if you're here today and you don't know you're saved, know you're going to heaven, you need to talk to somebody before you leave today. It's something you can know about. And then I think a third way that we can grow together is by engaging in specific services. In other words, there are certain things that God wants us all to do. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, God is saying to us, these are some basic things that you ought to be doing. And I think when he says that he means everybody is able to do it. Now, this is not something for just preachers or just deacons or just teachers or just staff members, but everybody can present themselves unto God. I believe this, that God wants us to serve him. We are saved to serve. Listen to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Many Christians are lazy. They don't tell people about Jesus. They do not exercise their gift that God has given you to use for him. Will you take the time and trouble to try to become spiritually fit? I pray that the listening guide that you saw today be a helpful reminder to you. I know when I go to church, I can't always remember whatever the preacher is talking about, but sometimes to have a little bit of help does that. So this morning, if you're here and you are not a Christian, our desire is you come to know Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, our desire is that you come to know him even better. So today, this is what we have shared with you and what we want you to know and to understand. I'm going to pray in just a moment, then I'll be here at the front. If you need to make any kind of a decision or have a time of prayer with me or one of the leaders of the church, they'll be happy to pray with you. And then we'll turn it over to our deacon, okay? Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come to your house, Lord. We love the folks here, God, at this wonderful church. We enjoy the great fellowship together that we have here, Lord, with them, and pray you will just bless in a very special way. God, I pray this morning as we've shared with them from the Word of God that if there's anyone who needs to grow or anyone needs to receive your Son, you would give them that freedom to do that even in this service right now. Because I pray in Jesus' name, amen.